Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhikamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 27. The blessings of Brahmins who are not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with pride and false prestige, and who are fully qualified with truthfulness, will be useful. Therefore, a class of men must be trained as Brahmanas from the very beginning. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasanta Danto Goror Hitam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.12.1. The word Danta is very important. Danta refers to one who is not envious, disturbing, or puffed up with false prestige. So we see here, they're not disturbing means because they're not disturbed. So if someone's disturbed, they'll be disturbing. Right? With the Krishna Conscious Movement, we are trying to introduce such Brahmins in society. Brahmins must ultimately be Vaishnavas, and if one is a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Bhagavad Gita 18.54. The word Brahma Bhuta refers to becoming a Brahmana, or understanding what is Brahman. Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha. One who is a Brahma Bhuta is always happy, prasanatma. Nasochati nakanchati, he's never disturbed about material necessities. Samasarveshu bhuteshu, he is ready to bestow blessings upon everyone equally. Madbhaktim lavate param, Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Then he becomes a Vaishnava. In this stage, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the sacred thread ceremony in this age, for his Vaishnava disciples, with the idea that people should understand that when one becomes a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana. Therefore, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become Brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. It was such Brahmanas that Nandamar is invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary Brahmins. So it's not just one gets second initiations and then it's done. One has to make the endeavor to try to cultivate and maintain these Brahminical qualities. So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? So we see is all these, the envy, attachment, all these different things, that has to be given up because Brahmins don't function on that kind of platform. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the responsibility. First initiation, then one's connected to the Sampradaya. Right, mm-hmm. One takes up the devotional practices nicely. But with second initiation, then one has the duty to act within the Brahminical platform. Because that's the nature of the society. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Second initiation is on the ashram platform.
Yes.
And then people are different varnas.
Right.
And usually they're not very well situated. And usually they are mixed varna sankha. Mm-hmm. So even though on the platform of the ashram, they're twice born, on the platform of the varna, it always interferes.
But Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are also twice born. So within those three categories, then, it's a natural thing. Shudras are the only ones that are not necessarily. But as a Vaishnav, then they could be. Have that second initiation because they have that devotional qualification. So in other words, it's not that by the ceremony it's automatic. It's supposed to be that those qualifications are there. And so that's the consideration. How to work out, you know, the position of initiation and all that. So Prabhupada's idea was this initiation meant that you were on the platform of Nishta. So that's the individuals who should be recommended for second initiation.
Yes. There will be not that many.
Yeah.
Probably.
But yes. It means maybe present, but before, everyone is very nicely situated, so therefore it was a matter of 6 months for first and then another year for second. Mm. You know, like that was the general practice around the world. Mm. Though in India it was 6 months for first, another 6 months for second. Because if you could handle India, then things went quicker.
But devotee were fully engaged in service.
Yeah, but I just heard someone they told me the other day is that like in Chopati, it takes 10 years now to get initiated because it seems to be getting to the platform. Nishtha is taking a touch longer than a year and a half.
And second initiation is out of question.
Huh?
Second initiation is out of question. Yeah. In Chopati.
Means they don't give it, or means there's no time limit?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, it doesn't give.
Oh, okay.
That's
it. Yeah.
No more
parameters.
Okay, makes it easier. Only if it's required, not otherwise.
Oh, it means only if it's required.
Like 15, 20. Most initiation takes such a long time.
Okay. So they show the qualities and they're involved like that. Okay. Because the only ones that technically need it are the brahmacharis in the temple who do the puja, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Mars is just being practical. Yes, so the whole idea is it's about the development of the character and the qualities, not about knowledge and skills.
Yes.
So that's the difficulty. We're putting it on knowledge and skills when it actually should be on the character and the qualities. Does that make sense? Because that emphasis, then it's so different. So, yeah. So it's a different kind of. We see is that this is what's being discussed in the purport. It's not means in all the discussion that Prabhupada's talking about. He, now and again, it'll be mentioned about the brahminical duties. We know that okay, they do the auspicious ceremonies and these kind of things. But where is the emphasis of the discussion?
The
qualities of the Brahmins. So that's the whole thing, is that all these great kings, we've gone through the Bhagavatam, and they will mention here and there the qualities they have to run the kingdom and a few, sometimes some of their ability. But mainly it's all about their characters, devotees, and how they're connecting everything to Krishna. That's the main emphasis. So as far as basic knowledge and all that, then you could go through all this quite quickly. Right? It means you'd have to memorize a huge amount of facts and figures, but you know what I'm saying? So that aspect is there, that it's about the qualities. That's what's there. And there's qualities in connection to Krishna. Right? It means performing activity require qualities. And an activity doesn't have any real meaning unless it was connected to Krishna. So in other words, the devotional attitude is the most important, then the qualities you have, then the knowledge and skills.
Yes.
Then that's how it goes down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the devotion is about pleasing Krishna. Then you're going to perform the devotional activities, but without the aspect of prajumna, about the right attitude and intent, how will it be devotional and for Krishna? So you have to have those right qualities. Then, supporting that, then is the knowledge and skills. So you have to understand the knowledge and skills is the lowest. We may start there in many cases because people can't appreciate the devotion and the qualities. But then to think that that's good enough and that's where it stays, then there's a problem. Right? Right? It's like previously it was talked about being a pure devotee, now we talk about being professional. So it switched from the devotional and or icha, like down to jnana, down to the basic, the mechanistic. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Professional pure devotee.
Yeah. Why not? You know, it means it's just you take your skill. I mean, all these devotees in the Bhagavatam, they're all professional. But it's not their identity. They don't identify. See, as long as you identify as a professional, that will keep you as a neophyte. Right? And so only if you're steady and neophyte, then you could get, first initiation. But you actually have to come to that Madhyama platform to be qualified technically for a second initiation. You know what I'm saying? So that means you have to give up identifying that I'm a professional. As long as you think I'm a professional, and because of that, that makes my position within the Krishna consciousness, then you just remain a neophyte. You will not move forward. You can say, no, but we need all these skills, this is preaching and all that. No, preaching is the mood, not the skill. Because whatever we set up, guaranteed there's huge amounts of people that can set things up way better than us. And no one is becoming a devotee. So that's not the, you know what I'm saying? We do something wonderful, that's nice. But it's that it's being done devotionally. That's what people notice. It's not that they walk in and, oh, wow, you know, like Los Angeles Temple. Oh, it's made with onyx. I got to join this place. I got to become a devotee. No one does that. Right? It has to be that it's because of the devotion that's there. And because of that, then they had an availability of this. They had an opportunity, so they made a nice altar for please Krishna. Then people will be attracted by the devotion. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is that it's, if one thinks that by pride that my knowledge and skills is what makes it better, then one missed the whole point. So that's why these qualities are the ones that are being focused on. And that's only important if it's connected with the devotion. So that's then what Prabhupada's talking about. We have to create a promise. You know, and this must happen from the beginning. Right? So from when they're young. Right, because otherwise, if they're older, then they already have an idea of what they want to do. Yes.
So, how to create brahmas?
By brahminical training. What we're talking about means this class that we're going through, this 12-year class. This is a course for brahmins.
Yes.
Now, you can catch the whole thing and then apply it like that, then it'll work well in your devotional life, and it'll work well as a Brahmin. If not, it'll work well, you know, however you're situated, and then for Kshatriyas, for Vaishyas, it'll work for everybody. This is a Brahminical course. That's why the emphasis is always on these characters. Because otherwise, if we wanted to go quickly, if it was knowledge-based, then in the back, what is it? You have Trinavarta. Let's see back here. Questions. Review questions. Explain the root cause of our suffering. Why did Krishna become heavy for Mother Yashoda? Differentiate between the yogic powers of the demons and devotees. We would just have a whole page of those.
Yes.
And this essay question, this and that, we wouldn't bother with. Does that make sense? You know, we just put in 20 of those and, you know, you'd have tons of verses to memorize and, you know, we check like that. You have the knowledge and haribol. You know, otherwise, why would we spend sometimes, you know, a whole class on one sentence? Because if we were working on the normal, you already plan ahead, you have all your things, and okay, today we got to get through X amount of pages a day, and then somebody comes out, oh, sorry, we can't deal with that now, we have no time. Right? Have we been in these scenarios? Yes. So that's the whole point. Is that this is brahminical training. That other stuff, that's not. That's professional training. Because in business, you know, okay, we have to develop these qualities. We don't have time. So, are we starting to see the connection? Yeah. So, in other words, this is brahminical training. The other is corporate training. And not even that great corporate. Whatever. Because at least they'd make some money, right? So the whole point is that that's what the modern world is doing. It's all on professional means that is connected with making money. You have that, and basically it means you're a shudra for someone else. If you are independent, that's nice, but it's not considered as well. Okay, let's say you have a doctor. He has his own practice on his own. That's considered good. It's nice. It's kind of quaint. It's old like that. But if he's connected with a big hospital, a big educational institution like that, then he'll be considered more prestigious. Right? Why? Because now he's a shudra, while the other one, he's a Brahmin. You understand? You know, your own lawyer, okay, that's okay. But if you're part of a big firm, then that's even better. Because right? In the company, the partners, they're you could say, Brahmins. All the other lawyers are all Shudras. Right? That's why it's the nature that they got to become a partner. Same in the business. The guy who runs it, he's the Vaishya. Everybody else is a Shudra. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that most of what we call professionals are Shudras. They're qualified Shudras, very intelligent, very practical, can get so much done, but they're Shudras. And so that's how people like it. You know, all the doctors in the hospital, then they're hired and fired by the Vaishyas that run the hospital. Because the hospital is to make money. It's not actually for people's benefit. Of course, you make it sound like it's for their benefit, you know, but to do, you know, all the tests that you need to do, and that'll cost you, you know, 30,000, you know, like that, then that's not Brahminical. That's Vaishya. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It's not about... So this whole concept of professional is based on a Shudra mentality. Like, most people would think someone with an MBA would be, you know, a business person, but actually they're a Shudra.
Actually, the program that Srila Prabhupada created is to create Brahmana, because nectar of devotion in the morning and Bhagavata,
yes,
and Bhagavad Gita, and even Krishna book.
So it's for creating Brahmins. The point is, our society is meant for creating Brahmins. Because it's that, how many people will be living inside directly within ISKCON, right? So that's that many. Then how many are outside and doing everything, and then you have the whole world. So they're the ones that will be, you know, the main focus on the other aspects of Varnashram. The temples don't need, they just need the Brahminical aspect. You know, of course, within that, anybody can take part. So you can, but it's not necessary. Right? It means Brahmins could run a temple, right? As long as they have some understanding of, you know, administration and things like that. But it's only to administrate a temple. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's Sri Karya Brahmins. That's the name of that kind of Brahmin. Sri Karya is a Brahmin who knows how to deal with management and those kind of things, but they're a Brahmin. So they work in administration, but they're not administrators. Right? So we see Prabhupada was creating that kind of class of Brahmins. And if not, then just Brahmins who could do puja, could do preaching and this and that, even if they weren't Sri Karya. But the point is that Sri Karya then can do all those different things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what the society is for. Then in that, then in preaching, then everybody else can be engaged. So someone could be a temple devotee even though he's not a Brahmin, because of the devotional, right? Because who's going to live in a temple unless they have the devotional aspect, right? So they're there because of the ashram side of being Brahminical. So the devotion is there. As far as being able to run it nicely and make it go and people are happy with it, then that's going to be Brahminical. Does that make sense? Then everything else, the government, we don't have to run the government. The government runs the government. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do business. Businessmen run the businesses. We don't have to do all the different works that's necessary in society. The Shudras will do that. Mm-hmm. We just have to make them Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this idea is, no, we have to do all those things inside the society. No, it's a... Relationships are established, but the whole point is it's not a matter there's no need of that designation. So because we're all doing the Brahminical activity, you don't need to designate the Varnas. You just designate ashram, because it's obvious, the position, so that duties are performed. But otherwise, all the preaching and all these other things, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So the society is meant for that. And then the Prabhupada's concept of the educational system is to do that. But if it's just to create professionals, how professional are we at producing professionals? 10-day management course? Are you kidding? Right? You know what I'm saying? An MBA is 18 months of intensive training. And that's only after you have all the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you might have already professionals who are fully trained, they have their MBAs, and they have a 10-day course, you know, like that, of some new techniques and keep you up to date with what's going on in the world now, that things have changed. That's fine. Does that make sense? So that's why I said we're an educational institution. The temples, they're supposed to be educational institutes. They're meant for Brahmins. And all the other stuff that goes on in the community and the general society at large. So it's something.
Like you mentioned about the activities to please Krishna, and for that, you know, we are putting more emphasis on the qualities, not on knowledge and skills. But then what happens is that one may have the right mood, the necessary qualities and the character, and performs an activity, and that activity happens to be a failure. So with that failure, maybe Krishna is pleased, but then the devotees under whom the activity is being performed, the devotees are not being pleased, you know, because of lack of knowledge and skills. So, yeah.
Did you ask this question before?
No.
Anybody remember this question? Like, last, before we closed last year? You didn't ask this?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is like exact words. I'm just going through and say, oh, now she's going to say this.
Deja vu.
Yeah, deja vu, something like that. Happened in a parallel universe. See, the point is, when we say we don't emphasize, this is a good point, because it's a very common misunderstanding that if we don't emphasize, it means then we don't do it at all. Right? So just like in the Vedic education, we have it all the time. Someone talks about Gurukul. Okay, what's happening in the Gurukul? Then you explain about the Gurukul and the emphasis on the dealings and the culture and the character and all these kind of things. And so then what's the next question that's going to come up with, you know, with shock and horror? It's going to be, so there's no academics? Absolutely nothing. In fact, you know, you put the books in a pile and burnt them. In fact, you brought in, you know, you had to bring in Germans to do it because they do it the best, right? Like that. So, right? And so if you say you emphasize, then that means the others, you just don't do it all. But the point is yes, you learn the skills, but since it's the lowest of all the aspects of the process, why would it get the emphasis? You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Why would it get the emphasis? It's how much is required to know the knowledge and skill, that much is given. But it only requires a certain amount. In fact, the higher the character, the less you have to spend on time and knowledge and skills. Because the higher the character, the more that they absorb and learn in class. Like that. The crazy kids, even though they may be smart, learn nothing in class. The kids with character that respect the teacher and sit there and learn and do their homework, they get more. So in the same amount of time, somebody got, you know, an A, and the other guy's got a C or a D. Mm-hmm. Same amount of time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, in the Vedic, because the character is there, you don't need that much time to teach academics. Because the point is why have the kids sit there all day in academics and they don't want to do it when they could be doing something else that would be of interest to them? And the kids that want to learn, then they'll learn. So the idea is not you increase the time of academics, you'll get more learning. No, you have to increase the quality of it. Just like, let's say you take these old traditional boarding schools around the world, you know, traditionally go back hundreds and hundreds of years. Some 400, 500, 600 years or more. Why are they boarding schools? Right? Because the kids are there all day. Do they teach more academics than in the government school? No, not at all. It's that the whole day is required because the academic time, you'll learn the academics. And then outside that, that's where you're going to learn all the character. Now you have to, of course, apply character in class. You have to respect the teacher, respect the others, respect the place and the books and everything like that. Do your homework. You have to do that. So you have to apply character. But the training of the character is not in the academic classroom. You can only kind of maintain that it's going on. The training of the character happens outside of the academic classroom. So during the sports, during, you know, their cleaning, their management that they have to do, because the schools are always managed by the boys. It's just, how do you train managers unless they do it? Right? And that means you start from the beginning. Just like if you want them to be such good at ecumenical, you have to start from the beginning. So if you want to be good at anything else, they start from the beginning. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes. Because Maharaj, you said that preaching is a mood, you know, it is not about the skills. So,
yes.
So basically.
It's not about the skills, that doesn't mean that there's no skills.
Correct. So, when it is only about the mood, and if a particular devotee has a right character, right mood, but maybe, you know, he's not very well knowledgeable, you know, in presentation. But still, you know, the result has been judged, and that was being done, you know, like recording the lectures, how many Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam shlokas one is quoting, you know, based on that the judgment was being made. So then here, the devotional characters that he had was not being taken into consideration. That was the sad part of it. You know?
No. But that's what we mean. That's when we bring in this professional culture, then you bring all the anomalies that come with it, which is puffed up with pride, false prestige, disturbed and envious. So then how can you judge what's a Brahmin? Because in other words, to be a professional in the modern world, you have to have all these bad qualities. Right? Have you ever heard the thing, good guys finish last? Right? It's a standard phrase in the professional world. Right. As I mentioned before, I saw this poster. It was about these guys, and it had two really, you know, guys in business suits and a little bit older, big crocodile grins on their face, you know, totally superficial. And the things was, good guys finish last, and the subtitle was, here are the winners. In other words, these are the baddest, nastiest guys. Right? And people think it's funny and fun. And of course, you know, how bad you can be, how much you can trick the other guy, cheat the other guy, but you come out on top, then it's just part of business. It's just, you know, you can say that's the material world, but you can't say that's business. It's one way to do business if you want to end up next life with no money. You get your money for next life, this life, and next life you have no money. So you can do it. The Vedic concept is that if you're going to go into economics, then it should be prosperous now and next life and the life after that, you know, in the next 1,000 lives until you figure out that maybe, you know, doing Kshatriya stuff's better. You know, there's so many 1,000 lives of that until you figure out it's Brahminical, then so many thousands of lives of that until, you know, you become a Shudra again. Yeah. So yeah, well, that's I'm right there. That's after the Shudra. Keep going. Yeah, so Indragopa up to Brahma, and then Brahma down to Indragopa. That's the cycle of samsara. Yeah, so you can do these things, but they're all brought in by the karmis and their perspective. And when do we ever say that the karmis perspective is a perspective we would use? We say you're using a knowledge and skill as Yukta Vairagya. That's fine. But since when would we ever use their perspective? That's Prajumna. They don't even know it exists. You know what I'm saying? Because the only time that they do bring up Prajumna in the self-help is, you know, I can do this. Yeah, I'm doing this. You know, I'm thinking about it. So I'm attracting it from the whole universe. I'm so powerful. I'm the center of everything. So that's pride and false prestige and puffed up and disturbed and envious. Because I'm the center, not that, not him. You know what I'm saying? Well, the Vedic is that Krishna is what is holding everything together. Therefore, if I have an attitude to please Krishna, then everything's going to work. You will not hear one self-help guy say that. So that means how successful, why would we use that attitude? Since the first thing we start with is attitude. So when we take up the modern thing, the first thing we do is take up the attitude. Generally, we don't even get to the knowledge and skills. We just, everybody cultivates the attitude. That's what political correctness is, just cultivating the attitude. No one doesn't have to be able to do anything. You can be absolutely useless at getting anything practically done. But if you can talk the talk, you know, all the political words and the right things at the right time and all the moods and all that and the timing, right, then, you know, you're great. Even though you actually can't do anything.
You can make seminars.
Yeah, you can make a seminar on how to do this. And you can have meetings with others who can do this, and everyone will go, wow, this is fabulous. So that's the difficulty, is that the Vedic means that if it's in line with Krishna, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and you understand all the different aspects, why won't it be practical? Since it's God's laws, following God's laws, why won't that give you a good result? So that's what we have to do, is try to catch that this is the actual purpose. Does that make sense? Yeah. So yes, one has to be careful of that. Because the point is what's the effect in preaching? Do people appreciate and all that? Now, if you find that they're such a nice devotee and they go out and do things and people don't appreciate, then you have to teach them some skills. But if they're getting an effect, but they're just getting an effect differently than everybody else's, because we want to have the attitude of feeling that we're professional, and this guy doesn't fit in, so then is it about devotional service or is it about our false ego? Does that make sense? So, yeah. Okay, so then this point is that it's, so therefore in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Right? Then their life will be successful. It was such brahmanas that Nanda Maharaj invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary brahmanas. Right? Okay, remember, particularly in human society, there must be an ideal class of men, brahmanas, who can bestow blessings upon others so everyone could be happy. Right? So, then their life would be successful. It was such brahmanas that Nanda Maharaj invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary brahmins. So, this is what you want, and so therefore, we see Nanda Maharaj only invited such people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, does that make sense?
Yes.
And then the, what do you call it? The, what's the one just before? Getting the names mixed up.
The Upanaya.
Therefore, in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on.
Yes, this is Upanaya.
Because that pulls together everything before that, that's all the
Udara.
So, Prabhupada brought out the blessings, the Bhagavatam, the qualified brahmanas. Then, while they work, the brahmanas, all these different things are all brought out in Prabhupada's purports. Yeah, so here we see, Nanda Maharaj is very confident about the qualifications of the brahmanas and their blessings, right? So that's the main point. He was fully confident that simply if the good brahmanas showered their blessings, the child Krishna would be happy. Right? That's the point, right? The blessings of now to the reason, the blessings Brahmins can bring happiness not only to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to everyone. Because Krishna is the self-sufficient. He does not require any blessings. Yet Nanda Maharaj thought Krishna required the blessings. What then is to be said of others? In human society, therefore, there must be an ideal class of men, Brahmins, who can do this. Right? So this then establishes. Then you go through, and now we have here also, in Bhagavad, then you have all these the examples that are given. Then you have the closing there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's...
Where is the Nikamana?
We just said it.
Because...
It was such Brahmins that Nanda Maharaj invited the Vedic hymns. It's not ordinary Brahmins.
Yes, last one.
Yeah. Means in that point. But that's also the closing of that one. Because even if you do that, you can make your Udaharana aspect have all these five. Because you're presenting an argument to close it.
Yeah.
But it's only in support of the overall bigger one.
Yes.
Right, so in other words, the Panchanganyaya in one section is supporting, that whole purport, which is supporting all the different purports in that chapter, and that chapter is supporting then that canto is, like that. So
yes.
That's the meaning of the Sangati.
Yes.
The most important word in these verses is Mahagunan, indicating that the brahmanas were offered very palatable food of exalted quality. Such palatable dishes were generally prepared with two things, namely food grains and milk products. Bhagavad Gita 18:44 therefore enjoins that human society must give protection to the cows and encourage agriculture. Krishi gur raksha vani jam, vaisha karma subhava jam. Right, so also is here is that that's the vaisha's karma. So to protect cows means everybody is supporting and doing what they can, but the vaishyas actually do it.
Yes.
So the whole idea is everybody has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
Because everybody's not going to, do all the shudra stuff. Everybody's not going to do all the brahminical stuff. Everybody's not going to do the administrative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's going to do their position. So the main taking care. Brahmins, if they have cows, they take care. But if Brahmins don't have cows, they don't have to worry. They can still do their duties. Because studying Shastra, teaching Shastra, that's their duty.
Yes.
And if they have no cows, it's still perfect.
Yes.
Not, oh, you don't have cows, you're not protecting me. What is this nonsense? No, that's for Vaishyas. Yes.
Yes. Maharaj, we were just discussing about these bad qualities, right? False pride, ego, and all that. So I noticed something in my case. Like, let's say I'm apparently following this Brahminical culture, Krishna consciousness. But then sometimes I notice that this false pride and stuff, even it's very subtle, like when you're talking to someone or when you're even listening to somebody, it's like there's always this thing going on that I can probably do it better, what does he know about it? It's like there's this egoistic feeling going on inside. And later it feels really bad that how could I think something like that? So how do you stop that?
But now, let us go back some time before being involved in Krishna consciousness, okay? And you were thinking like that, okay? Did you feel bad about it? No. So therefore, it's already working. Now you're noticing, means now you're noticing after the fact that it's bad. But if you keep going like that, and the purification of devotional service, at some point, you'll start to notice while you're doing it. And then you keep the process, then you'll be able to actually try to adjust how you're speaking in the tone while you're doing it. Until it'll get to the point where you won't do it.
Yeah, it's like, you know it, and you know that there are a lot of people who are probably way more better, they are, but then still inside it's like that hardwired belief that no, I can be better. But then it prevents you from doing anything productive or being useful.
Yeah, because we want to be the center of attention, because then we're the enjoyer. If we're the controller, we're the enjoyer. But that's the whole point. It's about this rather than about the qualities. So therefore, the nice qualities of people, how they're dealing, all these things, that's more important. You know, the skill is important in that. That's how you get something done. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone knows how to cook, right? They're quite good at cooking. So while they're cooking, do they have to overly put attention into and emphasize how they use the spoon, how they hold the spoon, how they use the spoon, how they stir the things in the pot? No. Right? Why? Because they know cooking. But, so that means they know that science, they know these things like that, they have the... Now, when you're cooking, then you have to have, it's about Krishna, about the cleanliness, everything like that. So, because the devotion... Right? Does that make sense? So, because the skills are the lowest things, those technical mechanical skills, and then the qualities of cooking and how you could do and what we could do in this preparation, you go like this, and then you go to the fridge, you open it, and the thing you thought was there is not there, or half of it's there. Now what do you do? Right? A person who only knows skills, it's not, they're finished. And now the cook will now start to analyze what we can do and adjust like that. And sometimes they'll come up with completely different preparation. But all that's only of use if it's for Krishna. So this need to overemphasize the skills, otherwise then nothing's going on. This is for people who actually don't know anything or who are very attached to the skills and that's all they have. Right? It's either they don't know, they don't have the skills, but respect the skills, or they have the skills, and that's all they know. Therefore, you get that thing is, oh, but unless you have this, how can they... You know. It's all coming from the moralist, the atheistic moralistic platform. It's not coming from the position of Dharma. Otherwise, Dharma, yes, the Brahmin is there, he's sitting there with Bhagavad Gita, it's upside down, all the other Brahmins who are quite scholarly are all laughing at him. This is the material world. Now, the devotional world is Lord Chaitanya coming and appreciate that, you know, his appreciation of Gita, why he's even sitting there while all these other guys are being idiots.
The worst part is, you know inside you that you're not even scared, but still the pride won't let go of
that. Yeah, but then just you have to keep chanting, keep following the process, and it'll gradually get worse. So in other words, the pride is there from before. So probably skill was there before, but because of pride, now you've lost it, so therefore... But the pride remains. That's the good part. Good things go away, but the bad stuff, it stays there. So that it has that stableness, that steadiness. You know, it's a material world. You can count on it. You know, so... unfortunately. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just a matter of time, and then all these things will work out. So you chant all these things, then those anartas in the heart that make those come up, those will go away. And then one will be able to apply oneself in that area if that's actually something that's important. And if it's not just this leftover before because you think it's prestigious but it's actually not important, then you move on with those things you can do. Is that... Yeah. Okay, simply by expert cooking, hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes can be prepared from agricultural produce and milk products. Right? Simply by expert cooking. Yes. So this expert means you know the science, you know how to deal with it. So it probably uses the word expert. It's important to catch the word. You know, says, oh yeah, but that's there, but then all these karmis, they know. So expert means that. It means beyond that. Means that sense of cooking. You know how the science works. You can put it together. You can take anything and make something out of it. So that's the point, is that agricultural products means what was the natural things that are there, and then milk products. You can produce anything. Right? The modern, you have to have all kinds of chemicals and this and that, and you know, to make things work. You know, before you just took some water, some flour, some yeast, and some bread, put in a little salt and haribo. Now you got to put all kinds of different things and this kind of that, and that. It's not, you can't just make a loaf of bread. Mm. It's just, that's the problem. Mm? Yeah. This is indicated by the words annam maha gunam. Still today in India, from these two things, namely food, grains, and milk, hundreds and thousands of varieties of food are prepared. And then they are offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the whole point. They're made, they're offered. So this is the way of human society. Killing the cows and spoiling the land will not solve the problem of food. This is not civilization. Uncivilized men living in the jungle and being unqualified to produce food by agriculture and cow protection may eat animals. But a perfect human society advanced in knowledge must learn how to produce first-class food simply by agriculture and protection of cows. Right? So they ruin the land because of the cows being slaughtered.
Yes.
Right? But now if they would just protect the cows, then all that land could be used for agriculture. Right? And if you want, you know, 1,000% profit, then you've got a problem. Therefore, it's that why is it that a few people get a lot of money out of it and some people get the benefit? On the Vedic civilization, everybody gets the benefit.
Yes.
What's the difference? The difference is what is of value. Yes. So value is the proper personal relationships, you know, nice food, nice clothes, nice environments, nice spacing, all these different things. These are considered nice. So because of that, then, you know, the values would be there. Because as long as you have nice food and clothes and all that, why do you need to make a huge amount of money? You just need to maintain the particular lifestyle that you have. So if you're rich and you can maintain that, you don't need to become a billionaire. If by putting in your regular work, doing your regular thing, you become a billionaire, great. But if by putting it in, it just maintains what you have, then you don't need more. Because right? More than that, well, you'll lose out on relationships, everything like this. So that means things don't have to be expensive. So why is it only, you know, good foodstuffs only certain people have? It should be everybody has good foodstuffs. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that people can be living simply, But it's very nice. It has all the necessities of human life. Mm-hmm. It may not be as fancy, may not be this and that. But the point is it does have those aspects. So that's the whole idea. The Vedic civilization, therefore the economy, then prosperity means everybody becomes prosperous.
Yes.
Well, in the modern, prosperity means a few become prosperous. So because it's based on envy and all those, why others should have. Right? You know, what makes you special as a rich man is that the common person is eating basically the same kind of food, wearing the same clothes. Like before, in the 70s, you'd be sitting there in the guest house, right? In the Lotus building. And when you came up the stairs of the Lotus building, there were benches on each side of the gate at the top. And so the guard was sitting there. Then up the steps would be walking some guy in a nice clean white dhoti and a nice kurta like this, or, you know, maybe the chadar, maybe not, whatever. And then it was up to the guard to tell, is this guy one of those incredibly rich guys or is he just a villager? You know, and how do you tell? Right? The rich guy, his dhoti is a little thinner, generally it's a little bit, you know, starched, it doesn't hang so much. You know, it has a more body to it. You know, sometimes in those days they'd have this special thing that they would rub the shoulders and it put these little wrinkles in it. You'd see that. The buttons that he would have wouldn't be sewn on buttons, they'd be the kind that you insert, you know, that go through like that. And even that, sometimes they just use real simple ones, just plain, like that. You know, just little things you could tell. Just the guy's hair was a little bit more, you know, combed or this and that. Is that you had to know. Otherwise, you would think they're just two guys that are exactly the same. You come from the West, you look at them, you can't tell the difference. You're trained, then you can tell. This guy's, you know, from a, you know, aristocratic family, and this is, you know, just the village guy. The village guy, the aristocratic guy, he's coming up there because, you know, he knows about, you know, he's a life member, he's heard about it. He's coming upstairs to see what's happening and to inquire those things. The other guy is looking for the temple and he just doesn't know where it is and he sees some stairs, so he walks up there. There's not a gate there, so he walks up it. Bob had said, when you're dealing with the villagers, you put a gate, they know don't go there. But you don't put a gate, that means you can go there. Like that. I've had, even in the Gurukul, you have people coming into the Gurukul, going into the toilets and looking in the toilets because there's no gate. And you ask them, what's going on? They just said, well, you guys are Westerners. We wanted to see what kind of toilets you use. You know, do you use the Indian toilets? You're sadhus, you're coming here to India, do you use the Indian toilets or are you still using the Western toilets? Like that, you know. Yeah, so like that. No gate, that's what happens. Gentlemen, he wouldn't go over there and look. You know, he'd just stand, he might ask, you know, if he found the right moment. Or if he had to use the bathroom, then he'd find out. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is you can tell the difference. So that's the thing, the subtlety is there, is they have the same, they all have the same everything. In principle, it's all the same. In basic detail. But in the fine, refined detail, then there's a difference. Because it wouldn't matter. In fact, the village guy wouldn't like that thinner dhoti. Because, you know, it'll catch on things. It'll rip and all that. His other dhoti is stronger. You know, he catches it. It doesn't happen. It hangs. So it won't catch on the doorknob. Well, the other guy, he has to be careful about going through the door. You understand? So it's just a matter of refinement. So the Vedic culture is that the difference between the classes wasn't so much like that. When you got up into the kings and that, okay, that's another thing. But, you know, that's the tax of the whole country. But the point is you didn't have to take so much tax because there was so much opulence. Right? Because if everybody's growing, all the farmers are growing, and all the farmers are getting a good harvest because everyone's pious, then even you're taking 16.5%, how much volume is there? It's incredible. You know what I'm saying? So like that, it's the amount is so great. So that's the difference. The Vedic culture is that because economics means everybody's doing well, it doesn't mean everybody's the same. That'll never happen. Because everyone has different tastes, different refinement, different this and that. So therefore, according to the position, the point is the equality is everyone according to their position is satisfied. And that can only happen if they're cultivating good qualities. Because otherwise, if you're envious, you can always be envious. You can be envious of anybody and anything. You know? So that's the difficulty. So it has, it's a base, the varnasha is based on qualities. Right? It says, you know, then it says the skill. Because here, it just mentions, even here, they do farming. Does it get into the detail of the skill of the farming? No. You just have to know that's what they do. Right? There'll be things that'll explain that, but that's not the main point. So we're always starting at the being God conscious, having the good qualities. Then what is your area, your dharma, your area of, then you have the particular knowledge and skills that go with that. So it's always the lowest one. Because if you start in the bottom, there's no guarantee you'll get to bhakti. Otherwise, the most intelligent people on the planet would be the most interested. Right? And we don't find that necessarily to be true. So you always start at the other end. You start with the bhakti. Then from there, it comes down into the qualities that will naturally come by the practice of bhakti, then what areas that you should be dealing in according to your nature, and then the skills. So it's not that you have to wait until one's completely finished. They can all go on simultaneously, but you have to know the hierarchy. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, if you had to cook, you know, let's say, a simple lunch, rice and vegetables, and you could only have one aspect to use for spicing the vegetable, only one, which one would you pick? Salt. If you pick that, you get the flavor.
Yes.
Then you can add to that with anything else. Right? Does that make sense? Some extra, they can put, like, you know, 15, 20 different spicings and other things in one preparation. It balances perfectly. But if not, then you just keep, you know, like when the devotees got too enthusiastic about, you know, the Indians showing them some cooking and all that, and then they started being completely crazy with it. And Prabhupada said, little cumin, little chili, you know, little turmeric. That's it. You don't need anything else. Because then they overdo it, overbalance it, completely do it. It's crazy. So that's the whole thing. You know what you start, and then from there you go out. So if you can add things, then it goes very nicely. Yeah, I think it was Govindamarsh. He cooked this potato preparation. You just take potatoes, cut it, throw it in the pan, fry it. I'm not sure if you boiled them first or not. And then, but the point is you fried it. And they were so good. They were just such a nice flavor. So we ask, you know, how did he do this? This preparation is lifetimes of, you know, cooking until you come to this. He was kind of building it up. But in one sense, on another sense, it's actually true. Because the only thing in there was salt and some red chili powder. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And it was so perfect. Because the balance and everything. Because who would agree to do that? No, you won't get any flavor. No, but you have to know, because it's all about balance. You can put more of things, but if it's out of balance, you'll get no flavor. And you can put less of things, but if it's balanced, it'll have a perfect flavor. Because it's about that balance. So actually, only someone who is cooking for so many lifetimes would be able to do that. So in that way, even though he was joking, it's true. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, I've seen him throw everything in the kitchen in a pot, and it's amazing. So he can do things from, you know, how you say, if the butter for the preparation is on one side of the kitchen and the preparation is being made on the other, and that's the influence. You know, you make the preparation, just look at the butter, you don't put any. So he can make something so light. At the same time, I've seen him make this preparation. You've heard of palak paneer? Okay, everyone knows it to some degree or another. This one, it was 5 kilos of spinach, right? Right now, the spinach, that 5 kilos will cook down, right? But whatever, 5 kilos of spinach, 5 kilos of paneer, 5 kilos of butter, and 5 kilos of koa. But it was so amazing. It wasn't heavy. No, the point, if you know how to cook, something that heavy is not heavy at all. Like paneer butter masala, if it's done right, it's not heavy. If you eat a preparation and it feels too rich and like that, it means you don't know what you're doing. It should be, it tastes as light as if it was just steamed vegetables. But it has a little more flavor, because steamed vegetables don't have any flavor. Without butter? Yeah, come on. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Is that it's about knowing the balance. So he do that. I've seen him in the kitchen do a Sunday feast like that. You know, or something for a festival, maybe Janmashtami or something, they're cooking, Radhashtami. And then everybody else has finished cooking, and he's still doing that last preparation, you know, that big fancy subject, like that. Then he just goes around the kitchen, looks for anything that anybody had extra. You know, this one had a little bit of this, that. He's just tossing it all in, going completely nuts, looking in the fridge, anything. It all goes in the pot. And it's amazing. So that's the point. He can go from that extreme, everything goes in the pot, and it's so amazing, down to it basically has hardly anything in it. So that's the science we're talking here. That's the meaning, that therefore you can take anything and make anything happen. So you don't have to have lots of expensive ingredients to make something good. So the village people that don't have much, their cooking is fabulous. It's rare that I ever have come across cooking that's better than what I've had in the villages. Like that. You do have individuals here and there, but I can't remember ever in the village eating something that wasn't good. But I have had a lot of stuff in the city that wasn't that good. Because people don't put the effort into it. Because there, that's all they have. They don't have anything else. You know, so that's what it is. So, therefore, when Prabhupada says how to produce first-class food simply by agriculture and production of cows, everything could be done. It's just you have to know what you're doing with it. So the moderns, oh, it's all this and that, but no, it's very simple. You can just make it on the spot. You know, it's easy. They can just do anything. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son Krishna, gave the brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to the brahmins in charity, and the brahmins accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, and especially upon Krishna. Right? Because Krishna is the whole focal point, but who's arranging that? His family. Right? And so because his family, they're pious people. They deserve blessings. But the program is about Krishna. So then he especially gets. So everybody gets, and then he gets more. You know, so that's the Vedic culture. Everybody gets, and then somebody gets more. Right? Everybody has sufficient, and then the wealthy people have a bit more. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. It's not that it's just, okay, this one gets nobody, and somebody else doesn't.
In Maharaj, those who are guests and they are part of the program, they do get the blessings from the Brahmanas?
They get from taking part in there, but it's specifically for the Yajaman. The blessings of the Brahmins are for the Yajaman. Mm-hmm. But everybody gets blessings by being there on an auspicious occasion and seeing all these things and taking part.
Because usually when the program is being performed, after the program, then everybody goes and touches the feet of the Brahman.
Then that's there, but the program itself, the blessings from that go to the Yajaman. Okay. But it's not that others don't get blessings. But it's that specifically here that they're giving like that. Mm-hmm. If the other one's coming, then they...
Yajaman means the person who is asking.
The Yajaman is the sponsor, or the patron of the program. So here, Nanda Maharaj is the Yajaman, like that. And so therefore, specifically him, his wife, his children, they get that blessing. Everybody else, by taking part in the ceremony, they're purified. By seeing the Brahmins, hearing them, they get purified and blessed like that. And then at the same time, it's like Mataji said, if they go and offer their own respects, then they'll get the blessings for that much. But they've done that much, they get that much in return. Nanda Bhava's done this whole thing, so naturally there. Because you're going, touching their feet, and getting blessings. Nanda Maharaj has just given them, you know, 10,000 cows. Yeah? Yes. Okay? Yeah. That's why we say the Yajaman is the one getting the blessings. Yeah? Okay. Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.